Welcome back. As the last part of introducing Tehran Peace Museum, Tehran Peace Museum was temporarily closed for public visitors in 2010 for redesign, and the new building with completely new design was inaugurated in a ceremony on June 28, 2011. Mr. Koichiro Maeda, director of Hiroshima Peace Memorial Museum, was a special guest for reopening of Tehran Peace Museum. It's such a great place. I wish you could visit Tehran Peace Museum. And from India, as I said, we've received an email from Ratan Kumar Paul. Ratan Kumar Paul says, "Dear IRIB, I enjoy listening to your programs regularly and I try to send you reception reports. Please verify my reception report with your printed QSL card and send some New Year 2024 calendar and other promotional items for me. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, from Iran, and from all IRIB English radio staff to you. Ratan Kumar Paul from India. Ratan Kumar Paul is one of our old and regular listeners, and it's good to hear that you enjoy listening to IRIB English radio programs regularly, and you try to send us reception reports. Thank you. As you may know, these reception reports actually help us promote the quality of our programs. We welcome your views about our programs, Ratan Kumar Paul. So in your upcoming emails or letters, please let us know what you think about IRIB English radio programs. And eQSL or electronic QSL will soon be sent to you as confirmation to this email. Write to us soon. We wish you all the best. Ratan Kumar Paul from India. Dear listeners, here we've come to the end of our today's edition of Listeners Special. Many thanks for being with us, but before saying goodbye to you, I just wanted to send my warm appreciations and gratitudes to those of you who have kindly sent us reception reports as well as emails from around the world. In this edition, I thank Dr. Hemant Kumar from India, David Mabi from Finland, Harshit Joshi from India, Ratan Kumar Paul from India, Malik Alabachaya from Pakistan, and Najmuddin from Bangladesh. Dear listeners, please keep in touch with IRIB English Radio and listeners, a special program. We wish you all the best. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Allahu ya Allah subhanallah. Allahu ya Allah walhamdulillah. Allahu wa
American Islam was such that the clergy must go to study theology. What had they got to do with politics? They would say this openly, in what manner they wanted to introduce Islam, an Islam that is not opposed to alcoholic drink, an Islam that had nothing to do with the prescribed religious punishments, that it must not be enforced, an Islam that must also not interfere with centers of vice. This, after all, was the Islam of the aristocracy.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله dear audience welcome to a new episode of Spring of the Truth from IRIB English Radio about the subject of independence and negation of attachment Imam Khomeini رحمة الله عليه said My dear children, it is now up to you to do all you can to irrigate the freedom and independence sapling of your country. This part of Imam's speech shows his trust and confidence on Iranian nation. Our magnanimous Imam Rahmatullah Alayh knew the Iranian nation in the true sense of the word. Imam Rahmatullah Alayh believed that our nation enjoys deep religious faith and is intelligent and courageous. A nation that has the capacity to shine like the sun in different areas only if it has competent leaders. One time, an incompetent person like Shah Sultan Hussein caused the Iranian nation to retreat into a corner. But another time, a courageous person like Nader Quli, without any of those honorary titles, emerged among the people and became their leader by relying on his courage and as a result, a nation managed to expand the arena of its glory from Delhi to Black Sea.
Ya Rabbana, salli ala Taha al-Nabi wa alihi sallallahu alayhi
Imam Rahmatullah Alayh had noticed this truth about our history and he had witnessed the examples. He believed in this truth. He knew our nation. He had faith in the Iranian nation and knew that the children of Islamic Revolution will one day reach independence and freedom. The people's deep religious faith, which had been concealed by materialistic people, was revived by our magnanimous Imam Rahmatullah Alayh. He provoked the people's religious pride and the Iranian nation became the role model of resistance and insight. In the eyes of our magnanimous Imam Rahmatullah Alayh, the people were the dearest and enemies of people were the most hated. The fact that Imam Rahmatullah Alayh did not stop his battle against the domineering powers even for one single moment was mainly because the domineering powers were enemies of people's happiness. And Imam Rahmatullah Alayh believed that enemies of people were his enemies too. For ending, let me just recite the sentence of Imam Khomeini Rahmatullah Alayh about independence and negation of attachment once more. In that regard, he said, My dear children, it is now up to you to do all you can to irrigate the freedom and independence sapling of your country. Thank you very much for listening to us and until another episode, I bid you farewell and may Allah protect you all.
Every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
Join us in this journey. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of Insights into the Holy Quran. In this edition of the program, we'll discuss some of the contents of chapter Naml, the 27th chapter of the Holy Quran, as well as some of the commentary points of the verses. Brothers and sisters, we are discussing the 44th verse of chapter Naml. Let's listen to this verse.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
قِيلَ لَهَا ادْخُلِي الصَّرْحَ فَلَمَّا رَأَتْهُ حَسِبَتْهُ لُجَّةً وَكَشَفَتْ عَنْ سَاقَيْهَا قَالَ إِنَّهُ صَرْحٌ مُمَرَّدٌ مِنْ قَوَارِيرَ قَالَتْ رَبِّ إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي وَأَسْلَمْتُ مَعَ سُلَيْمَانَ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.
She was told, "Enter the palace," but when she saw it, she thought it was a body of water and uncovered her shins to wade through. He said, "Indeed, it is a palace whose floor is made smooth with glass." She said, "My Lord, indeed I have wronged myself, and I submit with Solomon to Allah, Lord of the worlds."
So, dear listeners, in this very verse, the Almighty Allah explains the act of entering the Queen of Sheba into the particular castle of Solomon. So we said that Solomon had ordered that the yard of one of these castles should be built of crystal, beneath which there would be flowing water. So the Queen of Sheba arrives, she is told to enter the yard, and she imagines it's a stream, so she thinks personally and clearly that it's a stream, so this is what she does. She barred her legs in order to pass it through. And when she is made aware of the fact that this is not water, this is صرح ممرد من قوارير. Now she is aware of the fact that she is truly of the believers. Now, we said in the previous episode that if this is Prophet Solomon, if Prophet Solomon is so powerful, why is it that he needs such a palace, such a splendid and extraordinary power and palace? He does not need so, even if it were for something like a woman believing. But the fact is that commentators believe that this kind of palace and this kind of specific hall or entry was made right before the Queen of Sheba arrived. So the Prophet Solomon ordered that such a castle should be built with specifically aiming at the exhibition of power for her in order that she would surrender. And this action indicates a great power from the point of apparent military forces, because military forces were in the hands of Solomon. They made him able to accomplish such things. In other words, we can say this expenditure for creating security and peace in a vast province and accepting the true religion, also preventing the large expenditure of war, was not a significant matter. So when the Queen of Sheba observes that scene, she expresses, and the verse says, قَالَتْ رَبِّ إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي وَأَسْلَمْتُ مَعَ سُلَيْمَانَ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. My Lord, verily I have been unjust to myself, and I surrender with Solomon to Allah, the Lord of the world.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
So, dear listeners, we were discussing the contents of the 40th. So, brothers and sisters, we were discussing the contents of the 44th verse of this chapter. At the very end of this verse, the Queen of Sheba confesses that she has formerly used to fall prostrate before the sun and she worshipped idols, but now she says that I am confessing I have been of the wrongdoers. She says, قَالَتْ رَبِّ إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي. My Lord, verily I have been unjust to myself. وَأَسْلَمْتُ مَعَ سُلَيْمَانَ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And I surrender with Solomon to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. She confesses that she has formerly believed in sun as the god. She has formerly worshipped idols. She has applied ornaments and considered herself the most superior one in the world. But now she understands that how little and insignificant she and her power is. And basically, these ornaments, these decorations, these dazzling glares do not make their souls prepared for the thing they need. She repents of her past, of everything she has done in the past. She repents of her past deeds, of her past beliefs and thoughts. And she says that she has come to the Lord of the worlds accompanied with her leader, Solomon. So she believes and she says, أَسْلَمْتُ مَعَ سُلَيْمَانَ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. I have believed, I have surrendered with Solomon as your messenger to you, O Allah. And it is interesting that here, she uses the word Ma'a Sulayman, I mean with Solomon, in order to clarify this fact that in paving the path of Allah, they are equal, they are brethren, not like the manner and custom of tyrants, and some of them that some of them actually have power over some others, and a group are involved as captives in the grips of another group. No, she says, "Aslamtu ma'a Sulayman," just with Solomon, following him everywhere in every belief. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this episode. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.ir. Until the next program, take care.
Things always worked for me. Worry ends when faith begins.
Culture for my country. The war created a change in the course of this festival. We had no weapons. The army was doing its duty. Politicians and diplomats also did their job. Our weapon was culture. Our weapon was words. Our weapon was the thought that you could plant in people's minds. I am Leila Saab, born in Damascus in 1970. I was born in Damascus, but not in the prosperous part of Damascus. Our house was located almost on one of the highest points of Mount Qasiyun, and because of this, we used to look at Damascus from above. My mother was a simple village woman, but at the same time, she had a high level of knowledge. And I remember her presence in our lives, especially in our early childhood, was very noticeable because we were born in an era when the Syrian army was always on standby, and my father, who was a military person, was always away from home for long periods of time. The house where I grew up in, it is true that it was the house of an average family. That is, it belonged to the middle class. But they cared about science, culture and study, because my father was a person who was interested in science and was eager to learn. And I remember that he always spent a large part of his income on the library. I often accompanied him to libraries, and he always bought daily newspapers, books and storybooks for me. Although his income was small, he spent a significant amount of his income on the library. I recall when I was in high school, I started to pick up a pen to write something creative. Let me put it this way, that at first it started out of habit. But later, these texts became valuable. And so at the end of high school, I sometimes held poetry recitals with my father and also with my teachers, my Arabic language teachers. And I remember that every night a poetry recital was held. I was also one of the participating students. And I remember The first time I started writing, I wrote about Palestine, and it developed in me naturally because I listened to my father's conversations with a generation of intellectuals who were still suffering from the pain of the occupation of Al-Quds and discussed such issues, and maybe that made me search more. I recall when Sana'a Mehaidel blew herself up in front of the Zionists' checkpoint. As the first Lebanese martyr, she became a very important role model for us, youths and young girls. Of course, the question arose when this happened in Syria too, and that was when Hamida al-Taher carried out one of these operations in the south. And this pushed us towards the direction of being able to plant this thought in our minds, and I clearly felt that the path was clear for me at this stage. That is, this path was such that resistance was evolving for me, the evolution of this jihad, holy war, for freedom. And without telling my family, and this was perhaps one of the smallest things that I hid from them at the time, I signed up for martyrdom operations, and I always dreamed of the day when they would call me and say that we accepted you. And high school for me was the time that the idea of resistance began to grow, the idea that a person should defend his or her land.
نهاية المرحلة الثانوية بعد البكالوريا حدثت يعني انعطاف كبير خلينا نقول في
In the last year of high school, after the 12th grade, a complete change happened in my life. I got married, and this marriage made me move from the city to a different environment, which was a village, a remote village.
نقدر نقول أو من المدينة انتقال ل بيئة مختلفة وجو مختلف اللي هو أنا
I was a school student in the city. And when I entered this environment, I was a woman, and they expected me to perform social duties, to participate in celebrations and mourning ceremonies, to run a family, and to prove myself in all these daily family details.
أسرة وأثبت وجودي بكل هاي يعني التفاصيل.
Be it in cooking, in housework, my duties towards my husband and my husband's family, etc. Here I faced obstacles that were considered unacceptable in this society. That is, it was difficult for this society to accept a married woman to go to university. I mean, with all the hardships I endured, naturally, the decision to have a child shouldn't be postponed. That is, this rural environment couldn't tolerate a woman having kids later in order to finish her education.
يعني ما بتتقبل إنه سيدة تتأخر بإنجاب الأطفال لحتى تخلص دراسة.
It is true that I was the first married woman who graduated from the university. But later, it changed, and many women and girls get married and continue their studies simultaneously. And they say that so-and-so was able to continue her studies despite all the difficulties. In this small village, I saw the presence of women in different places. That is, women do not only work at home, but also do agricultural work and even farming and have many duties. I don't know, in a moment I felt that there are things that I can provide services with. There was an association for women's union. This women's union was one of the organizations that existed in all villages, but they weren't active, and I found an opportunity in this organization to try and do something. The first activity we did, the first thing I tried to do was holding literacy classes. On the first day of class, when the ladies came to class, they hid their books under their clothes. That is, she had hidden the book under her clothes so that people wouldn't know that she had come to study. They even said that she's holding a book at this stage. And later, I tried to boost their willpower that there is no shame in doing this. And there was also this matter that we expand our relations with the society. For example, hold nursing classes and teach women skills and trades. I myself learned some things from my mother and also from my mother-in-law, and I held small classes for them and taught them what I knew. We didn't always have a place to hold classes, and with my good relationship with the school, it was possible for me to open the school and hold classes for them in the school. When we had no place, we would either put tables and chairs on the sidewalk next to the school and sit there, or we would have classes at one of our houses or at one of the students' houses or at my own house, and the lack of space was never an obstacle for us. We also sometimes invited lawyers from the village or outside the village to explain some issues of inheritance, child education, marriage, etc. It seemed that these cultural activities and these fatigues of working with women, especially in the cultural field, drew the attention of others to the fact that there is a need to establish a cultural place. In this small office, I was obliged to be the head of the cultural center in this village. Of course, here I found the courage not to work only with women. I can also work with children here. I can work with families in general. And we even started working with men. We started cultural activities, reading poetry and holding various celebrations. We trained the children. We started to do something in order to plant the idea of volunteering in people's minds and its importance. In 2010, we focused on environmental and cultural activities. We did an important job in this village, which made the mayor of rural Damascus organize the environmental festival in this village, which is on the first or second day of October, Tishrin al-Awwal. It means everyone left rural Damascus governorate and hold this celebration in this small village. Of course, what they saw was the fruit of our work with children and families, from holding handicraft and recycling exhibitions to art, music, and theater festivals that were held to promote the environmental law issued at the time.
We named the first festival Qal'at al-Jandal. When I said the first, we knew that there would be a second and third time. But unfortunately, this phase coincided with the start of the war in Syria.
The war created a change in the course of this festival. We had no weapons. The army was doing its duty. Politicians and diplomats also did their job. Our weapon was culture. Our weapon was words. Our weapon was the thought that you could plant in people's minds.
Since the festival started from this small village, the cultural festival of Qal'at al-Jandal was held for 5 years until 2015, and it was modified in terms of content and idea to serve the defense of the homeland, honor the martyrs, honor the families of the martyrs, and appreciate the value of martyrdom. And it was also the bearer of the case of resistance on the foundations of culture, whether through poetry or speeches, to show people the horizon to distinguish between right and wrong, taking into account that some people had doubts.
The festival continued until 2015, achieved many successes,
And little by little, its fame was heard not only in rural Damascus governorate, but in the whole of Syria. When the war started, the brutalities of war and violence became visible. The crisis intensified. At that time, I was offered a promotion at the peak of the war, and this causes you to be transferred, a dangerous transfer. It means that your workplace, which is close to your home, will be transferred to a far place, and it was very difficult for me to prepare my comfort to my duties towards my country. To be honest, I accepted the position of managing the cultural center of rural Damascus governorate, and here we did a very important job, which was related to setting up of voluntary groups. And we set it up in all cultural centers. We set up youth groups from volunteers in the fields of music and literature and tried to attract them to organize their work and make them part of the new staff. Since this period, a series of important activities were discovered. Generally speaking, a series of festivals, associations, and various theater performances were held.
من هاي المهرجانات طبعا والفعاليات الكثيرة جدا اللي أقيمت على مدار
These festivals and activities that were held in rural Damascus during these 3 years, to be honest, the first day that some areas were liberated on, I was in those areas on the second day and tried to build a new cultural center. But some activities had strategic importance. Politics, culture, and even military work overlapped each other. For example, the Yabrut Festival. The Yabrut district was under the control of the opposition for almost 9 months. The liberation of Yabrut was a great victory. Yabrut district is located in an important strategic point. The connection between the opponents was caught with this victory. From Palmyra and even from Homs to Jaiprud Ghalamun to the Zabadani district, and that is why it was a very important victory. This military victory should be completed with a cultural victory. That is why the Yabrut Cultural Festival was held, which included music, national anthem and sing-along, as well as painting exhibitions and support workshops for children who witnessed the war, and it contained very important things that were made in Yabrud. We invited the artisans and experts to organize an exhibition about the industries and factories whose headquarters are located in Yabrud, as people's lives return to their normal routine. One of the valuable things in my heart is a valuable memory of this festival, and that was Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah gave his speech almost a few weeks after the festival and said that life has returned to normal in the areas liberated by the Syrian army and the axis of resistance, and cultural and tourist festivals are held there. And at that moment, I felt that he's talking about me. I felt all my fatigue, all my hardships, all my fears of places where there might be mines, there might be opponents there. I felt that these fears disappeared at that moment when I realized that the commander of the resistance is following up. I felt this great achievement.
يعني سيد المقاومة هو 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 متابع فشعرت بهذا الإنجاز الكبير.
Six months after receiving the position of managing the cultural center of the rural Damascus, we started preparing for the Resistance and Culture Association to somehow connect resistance and culture. In my opinion, the difference of this association is that, first off, it is connecting bridge between the supporters of the resistance, the case of resistance and the Syrians who are involved in the anti-terrorist war outside the country, whether in Arab or other regional countries. The guests of the Resistance Association in these 3 years included all the neighboring countries. In the third year, the communication between me and the brothers in Iran began. We met on different occasions. In the last forum, there was an exhibition about the heroic deeds of the Syrian army, which was recorded with the cameras of Iranian artists accompanying the army. And there was a painting exhibition and workshops for documentary films, political cartoons, and photography. A few days after the end of the third resistance forum, my removal order from the association was issued. Of course, this decision made me enter a new phase, the warrior's rest phase. This was the name I gave it. I felt sad, sorry, betrayed, and disappointed, but only for a while. What helped me was a large number of my friends in the cultural and intellectual community who started a solidarity campaign with me in the cyberspace. And this stage of despair and betrayal failed to extinguish the flames of resistance inside me.
الحدث الأكبر اللي صار هو صار بخواتيم الحرب. صحيت على خبر.
A big thing happened at the end of the war. I woke up to a news. The certainty I had about resistance increased. When Daesh attacked the eastern suburbs, my village, the alley of my family, my cousins, and all those who are dear to me, when Daesh entered this place, what was the choice of these defenseless people who have less cultural awareness than us? Their choice was not to run away. It was not to surrender. Their choice was to stand and resist and die in front of their house and get martyred. There were families who were all martyred, mothers, fathers, children, and some of them blew up their houses with their families so that they would not be captured by Daesh. After this incident, I become more certain of achieving victory. What sacrifices we made compared to them? We spent some of our time. We moved from one position, maybe from one chair, from one place to another. After I got through this painful stage, I returned to the slogan that I had created myself, which many people took from me, and that was the word sister is an arrow. So I returned to this word and picked up my pen again. And with this pen and through this written word, I can express what I want, and I can serve this great and decisive issue, which in my opinion is the case of resistance.
والقضية المصيرية بالنسبة لي ألا وهي قضية المقاومة. وأمنيتي الأهم للثقافة ببلدنا إنها تكون.
And my most important wish is culture for my country to be a strong front, to be a resistant front. Maybe the battles in this period will military, but I believe that our cultural battle is continuous. I wish from the bottom of my heart that securing the cultural front be of importance. The culture of this country be the first line of defense of this country in future battles. We learn that every time we win, the enemy's tricks increase, and it uses new techniques every time. We must be culturally immune and sensitive to the return of the enemy.
لازم نكون ثقافيا محصنين ومستعدين للمعارك القادمة.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
Of course, the central message of the khutbah of Badir is about the issue of wilayat and imamat of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Before I go to the famous words uttered by the Prophet there, one more piece of advice from that khutbah, where the Prophet talks about the equality of believers. He says, Ya ayyuhan nas, inna rabbukum wahid. O people, your Lord is one Lord. Wa inna abakum wahid. Your father is one. Everyone is from Adam. Kullukum li Adam wa Adam min turab. Every human being, goes back to Adam, and Adam has been created from the dust or the earth. If you want to see who is important than the other, inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. He recited this passage from the ayat from Surah Hujarat, that the most honorable among you in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the person who is most righteous and muttaqi. And then very clearly, without any hesitation there, he says, لَيْسَ لِعَرَبِيٍ عَلَىٰ عَجَمِيٍ فَضْلٌ إِلَّا بِالتَّقْوَىٰ. No Arab has any preference over a non-Arab except on the basis of righteousness and taqwa. أَلَىٰ هَلْ بَلَّغْتَ. He says, have I conveyed the message? قَالُوا نَعَمْ. People said, yes. And this is where the Prophet now says, فَلَيُبَلِّغُ الشَّاهِدَ الْغَائِبِ. Let the people who are witness here convey this message to those who are absent. And this is a perpetual, process of tabligh from one generation to another. And so this is again one of the important values of Islam as far as equality believers in the eyes of Allah is concerned. And then he comes to this issue of the hadith, which is known as Hadith al-Saqalain. But before that, there is a statement which we do not, even people like me, don't recite that before that حديث الثقلين. The Prophet says, أفلا ترجعن كفارا يضرب بعضكم رقاب بعض. He says, I warn you, don't become kafir later on, killing one another. And then immediately he says, فإني قد تركت فيكم, I have left among you, I am leaving two things among you, ما إن أخذتم به لن تضلوا. As long as you hold on to that, you will not go astray. One is Kitab Allah, and the second is Itrati Ahlu Bayti. And this is a very, you know, famous hadith. If you want to know more about the historical background of that and sanad, you know, I would refer you to one of the chapters of my book known as Imamat and Vilayat. There is a very extensive chapter on this issue. Actually, that chapter was even translated from English to Farsi in one of the journals in Iran about 15, 16 years ago. And so, you know, I don't want to go into the sanad and authenticity of this. This is beyond any doubt. Although our, you know, Muslim brothers, the ulama and the mashayikh in their khutbah, always say that Rasulullah said, "Inni tarikum fikum as-saqalain kitabullah wa sunnati." That I'm leaving two things, Book of Allah and my Sunnah. We are not against the Sunnah of Rasulullah, but this statement is not to be found in any of the Siha Sitta, the six famous books of Hadith of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. While in the three of them you will see this statement where the Prophet said, I'm leaving Kitabullah wa itrati Ahlu Bayti. And so this is beyond any doubt as far as authenticity is concerned. But let me, you know, relate it to something which we always talk about it and discuss only at the time of Eid. Everybody talks about unity, you know. And this is where we have to realize the unity when we are talking about cannot be the unity of beliefs and theology. We cannot have unity of jurisprudence. They are different madhahib, nobody can change it. They are different fiqh, nobody can change it. You have Shia and Sunni, then among Ahl Sunnah you have, you know, Shafi'i, Hanafi, Maliki, Hanbali. What concept of unity are you talking about? Unity essentially means that when it comes to common problems that we have, especially for the Muslims in the Western part of the world, when we deal with the government or the society, face problems as Muslims, this is where you have to show our numbers, where we have to unite. That is the concept of unity we are talking about. Not in our namaz and roza and hajj and, you know, rituals. Everybody is free to do whatever they want. You know, do we do Eid al-Adha with Saudis because hajj is going on for the sake of the unity? By the time it's morning here, it's already night there. You know, this is where we have to realize that, you know, let every mazhab follow their own way. If a Sunni comes here to a masjid which is managed by the Shias, remember this is not a Shia masjid. A masjid is not Shia or Sunni. Masjid is Lillah. So if a Sunni comes into a masjid which is managed by the Shias don't have a right to force that person to pray the way Shias pray. When a Shia goes to a masjid managed by the Sunnis, even their fiqh doesn't allow them to force me to fold my hands and do the namaz according to their way. You know, this is, as far as the jurisprudence is concerned, it is there, clear. And so that's the issue of tolerance that we need to have. And so there's no issue of, you know, talking about unity in that way. Every madhab, every community follows their own tradition because they belong to that madhab and there and that community. There is no issue of, you know, majority, minority either. Ayat of Quran, you know, does Allah praise the majority or does He praise the minority? قَلِيلٌ مِنْ عِبَادِ الشَّكُورِ. Allah says there are few among the people who are really grateful to me. You know, and you can go on there. For us, going back to this khutbah of Ghadir, wherever we see differences, Ammar actually was told by Rasulullah, and this statement was witnessed by others, where the Prophet says to Ammar, if a time comes and you see the entire ummah going in one direction, and Ali alone is going in another direction, follow Ali. Because he... follow Ali because he will not take you in the path of misguidance. And that's the reality of Islam, of Rasulullah. This is the Islam that the Prophet teached, especially in the event of Ghadir. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand the importance of the teachings of Ahlul Bayt and keep us on the path of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Rahim Kareem Adi Alim Halim Hakim Mateen Ghafur Shakur Wadud Qayyim وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
With the presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salamun alaikum, dear listeners. Welcome. This is Ed Ali, and you're listening to Viewpoints IRIB English Radio. So I'm so glad to have Brother Rouhani with me. Assalamu alaikum, dear brother.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
And Brother Ali. Assalamu alaikum, dear brother.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Good to have you here both. So the topic we're going to discuss today is governance in the perspective of Imam Ali, peace be upon him. Let's just start in the beginning. Let's just start the talk with sharing a few words of Imam Ali in Nahjul Balagha. The efforts of the nation cannot be rectified without reforming the rulers, and the condition of the rulers cannot be improved without the nation's affair being in order. That was Sermon 216. So, Brother Rouhani, what are the objectives of government according to Imam Ali alayhi salam? I mean, why do we need a government to handle things around? Isn't it better to educate people themselves to manage their own affairs rather than appointing or choosing a higher power to help them out?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Socially talking, mankind is always in need of a kind of order in their social lives, because without this harmony and order in their social life, no one could live peacefully in that kind of environment where no one observes any rulings, any rules, any laws. So that's why it is a need for